So it's not corn chips at all.
Oh, that's really disappointing. I was hoping you had invested in some corn chips since you couldn't get those in London. Well, you couldn't get decent ones at least.
No, they were. It's another thing I couldn't get in London.
Oh, yeah?
It's a juicy.
Oh, yeah. Nice. I made a good go of those over summer.
Yeah. No. I saw them in the freezer.
Jake had never had one before, so I introduced him to them over the summer, and he was like, yeah, this just makes sense. Like,
what a
there's
time.
No downside here.
What a time. Episode 19, the juicy episode.
Boom.
Yeah. Same time zone? Same time
yeah,
zone.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. How are you feeling being home?
Ah, it's shit. Real fucking shit, isn't it?
is it just shit because you're in quarantine, or is it shit because you're in New Zealand?
Well, shit because everything has stopped. I'm not doing what I want to be doing. That's the shit part.
Yeah, that's fair. Because obviously your studies had shut down and work was going to be, I imagine, pretty much
non-existent.
Yeah, so,
exactly.
Yeah. It made sense to be coming home, but obviously you've got to put up with two weeks in your parents' basement, which, you know, based on your photos on Twitter today, seems like it could be a lot worse based on how many PlayStations you have.
It could be a lot worse, yes. but it's not still not ideal being
no,
back
fair.
In New Zealand. It does make recording these podcast episodes easier because we're in the same time zone. And
yeah, given, I suspect we're probably going to get through quite a few in the next little while.
Oh, yeah, given that you're fun employed and I'm literally doing nothing. We can just spend 3 hours a day, every day for the next 9 days and be done with this podcast.
Yeah, the old fun employment situation is less ideal currently.
I can imagine,
Obviously, I've been out of work for good reasons with my brother and stuff like that. But the job hunt, which was in full swing, is basically ground to a complete halt with the old coronavirus.
Yes,
I was pretty far along with two, almost three job offers kind of on their way.
Oh, no.
And then immediately everything is dead silence. So I'm kind of hoping in the next week maybe one of those might turn into something, but I think it's much more likely I'm probably looking at months of no jobs. So that's going to be pretty shit.
Yeah. I mean, that's the case for everybody.
It certainly gives us a lot of time for this, and I think it's a reality of what a lot of people are going to be facing.
Yeah. Well, a lot of people will be facing season three of the worst game of all time, let's be honest, which is what we're staring down the barrel of to literally pass the time.
Indeed. But hey, it's fine. Have you got me an episode of, a version of Cats to watch yet?
I have, actually.
Excellent. Because we can take care of that this week.
Yeah, it's out on iTunes. I've gone and bought it on iTunes, so
good.
I'll make sure that you can see it that way as well. And
cool.
Yeah, we can do a Cats watch.
Oh no!
I was thinking today that we could do a joint director's commentary, not director's commentary, but of the commentary of the game. We could knock off a watch by sitting there talking to each other on the phone while we watch it.
While we watch, yeah, that'd be ideal. I mean, today we were obviously tweeting a lot of shit, which was quite fun. I laughed a lot. I enjoyed that a few other people got involved. Dylan Fox, most notably.
I got this tweet from you, which was just the words. What did you say? You busy this afternoon or something?
Yeah. What are you up to today? You want to talk football?
And then a photo of the classic FIFA t-shirt, "You Want to Talk Football," featuring Andrew Duranda and Vince Leah on the set of Shortland Street. And I said, I responded with just one word, which was chilling. And at that point, I had started watching the game. On the back of your tweet.
Yeah.
And so we watched it together, basically.
Certainly pretty close to the similar time, which was probably the first time in ages we've done that.
Yeah, we were live tweeting it. Yeah, we both finished the game within half an hour of recording the podcast, the first time in forever. And here we are recording episode 19. It's a bit weird being in the same city in the same time zone, but still recording via our remote record system. But hey, at least we have the remote record system in place already.
Oh, exactly. It's making this a lot easier. It's weird though. Like everything's pretty weird at the moment because obviously I've been at home not doing a hell of a lot, being unemployed. Yep. But from Monday, both my housemates, so Mel and our flatmate are going to be working from home as well. So I'm kind of excited about it because all of a sudden I have more people rather than like sitting at home alone constantly. Whereas they're like, oh my God, I'm not going to be able to leave the house. And I'm like, oh, this is going to be so good. There's people.
Yeah, the problem
it's going to be a long time of that. So
my whole family is working from home now as well. They're working, and it's not like they're not having just a rollicking fun time playing video games all day like I am. So I can't just go and have a chat to them. Like I can't be like, hey, do you want to play FIFA against me? Like, I can't just go and do that. So you have to contend with that problem of like balancing the, oh, I want to socialize with them, but are they working? Are they busy right now? Oh, can I have a chat? Like,
Well, pro tip for you that's going to be completely useless to any of the listeners, but in case you haven't already noticed, Football Manager is free for a week at the moment.
What? Shit.
Yeah.
Because I was
going... It's already like 3 or 4 days into the week, so you've only got a few days left.
Right, but
if you want to lose a couple of days to some Football Manager, get on board.
Oh, right. So it's free to play it, not like free to like... buy it.
And, no. They're just making it available for a week, obviously in light of coronavirus.
Yeah.
Obviously, I suspect they'll get some sales out of that too. It'll work out very good for them. But
there's the next 2 days.
You can certainly lose a couple of days down the rabbit hole of some Football Manager.
Oh, yeah, great.
Why wouldn't you?
Honestly, I was thinking about it. I'm just like, oh, I wish I'd bought a copy of Football Manager recently. I think the last one that I have is Football Manager 16, which, like, I could play that. It would be fine, but it's just, like, it would be nice to have the updated version. But, I was thinking about that and going, oh, I don't have a copy of it. But apparently,
it's definitely the thing with Football Manager. Like, there is no way you need to buy every single year.
No,
you just don't.
I used to buy every second year.
I think I probably buy every second year. Yeah, I think I probably do the same. I'm just having a look at my library now to see which ones I've got. I've got 12, 14, 16, 17, 19, and then I have 20. Just because I got it free this week.
Yeah. So I did the 12, 14, 16 cycle and then I didn't buy an 18 and I haven't had a copy since 16. But
disappointing. Yeah, for some reason I bought 17 right after 16 waited.
Maybe it was
back
cheap.
On my 2 years.
Yeah, maybe it was cheap.
Yeah, maybe. I'm sure there was a reason. Maybe that was the year they started doing the A-League properly or something. I'm sure there was method to the madness.
Maybe.
Yeah,
but yes,
I don't know.
I will definitely be taking them up on that offer and probably buying it afterwards and keep it on going.
Yeah, which is fair enough. To me, it's just a no-brainer being you guys can have it free for a week while you're all quarantined and the world is going to shit.
Well, they might extend
it. And then once
we
stop, a whole bunch of people will absolutely buy it. So why not? Yeah.
Solid option. I have a ginger beer, Dave, that I'm drinking. I have a Bundaberg ginger beer.
What was the first thing you were excited about when you got home? There must have been something you're like, holy shit, I can finally have X.
I don't know, really. I don't think there was one. I am really enjoying these ginger beers. I've had three in the last 2 days. Because Bundaberg ginger beer doesn't exist over there. It's all old Jamaica, which is just terrible.
I saw you tweeting about it, and I saw a friend of the pod, Wilso, endorsing your views that it's just a piece of shit.
Yes.
But I did like that it obviously comes in like a 2-liter bottle. I'm kind of jealous of that. But if it's shit, that kind of balances that out.
Well, it's because
ginger beer is amazing. Like being able to buy like a 2-liter bottle of it seems ideal, but you can't get that here. Get ginger ale, but that's not the same thing.
You can get like real cheap ginger beer in a 2-liter bottle. Like the 99-cent stuff, you can get that, but you don't want to be spending 99 cents on ginger beer. That's not ginger beer.
Not really ginger beer anyway.
Exactly.
I wouldn't count that.
So no, I've been digging these Bundabergs because old Jamaica is just terrible. It's nothing worth drinking. So that's one thing that I've been enjoying. The thing is, I can't just go out and get a thing. Like I can't just go and get a frozen Coke from McDonald's, or I can't just go and get a Moro bar from the supermarket. So it's all like I have to ask somebody to get it for me.
Yeah, what's the situation with your family? Do they need to be like isolating in any way as well, or is it just you?
Well, it's just me, but we're keeping a distance inside the house. So
So it's not like full contact with Patrick situation.
No, exactly. Okay. So I have my own little area, lounge area where I watch the game today. Member room, and then I'll go and cook dinner after they've finished cooking dinner, and I won't eat dinner with them, and that kind of thing.
Oh wow! So they're not even cooking for you. You've got to go make your own food.
Well, they could cook for me. That would be nice of them. Yeah. But I'm making my own veggie stuff. So it's quite nice to like keep that routine, though, because I kind of want to spend an hour cooking food because I've got nothing else to do. So It's I
definitely get that. Like trying to find some like normal routine to do is totally the way forward. Like you gotta do some of that stuff. Obviously, having sat at home for a couple months before this started, I can give solid advice around what it's like not leaving your house. Because yeah, it's pretty weird. You definitely gotta like try and keep some normal routine, yeah. Like still eat well. Like get up in the morning, have a shower, put clothes on. Like,
yeah, of course.
If you the second you make the decision to be like, fuck it, I'm staying in my pajamas, the whole day, like the vibe is different. You're just like lazing around the house being a sloth. Well, like, whereas if you're like, get up, shower, get dressed, it's like, oh, cool, I'm not going to do much today, but it feels like a fresh day and not like I'm just being some kind of sloth person.
Yeah, I came off three weeks of doing not much in terms of teaching time.
Yeah.
So I had 3 weeks of like kind of just taking my own vibes. Like if I wanted to go and do some work at the school, I could. If I wanted to stay home, I could. And so that's how we got some weird records in on like a Tuesday morning, things like that. But so I've had 3 weeks of that. So I haven't really changed what I'm doing much. Hasn't been like I've been like hard out doing lots of things and then all of a sudden I'm doing nothing.
Yeah.
I haven't had that. So I've kind of got used to this.
It's going
to
be weird for people trying to work as well, like trying to actually be productive at home. Like I haven't had to do that, which is quite good because I wouldn't say I've been that productive. Like I've been doing job hunting and stuff, but the reality is like with job hunting, like kind of an hour in the morning is about all you can reasonably do. Like
apply
for whatever new jobs are relevant. And then there's like a finite kind of cutoff in many ways of how much you can achieve on a given day.
Exactly.
It's left me with a lot of time where I kind of can't be productive. So I've done a lot of like cooking and stuff, trying to, you know, help out as much as I can with everything else, but there's still only so much you can do.
Yeah. It's a weird time. What you can do is watch the Wellington Phoenix lose 6-1 to Melbourne Victory.
You definitely can do that.
And I highly recommend it. I have a list this week.
Do you highly recommend it?
No, I don't at all. That was facetious.
Good.
I have a list this week.
Yep.
Let's start at the top.
All right.
Well, the Moomba Festival's happened. It seems like it was an age ago now. It seems like it was a different time. We're very lucky that it happened when it did. If it was happening this weekend, it wouldn't be happening. But Moomba happened. And you have a present. You got a present from Moomba, didn't you, Dave?
I absolutely did, and it is very surreal that someone now delivers me gifts from Moomba. Friend of the podcast, Tim, went to the Moomba Festival and brought me back some stuff from the Box Wars, which is just phenomenal. So the weird part is that went to the Moomba Festival, checked out the Box Wars stuff, and still has no idea what it's about. I was tell me more about it, and he was like, I have no idea what it is.
That's disappointing. I thought we're about to get a big insight,
which is great.
What it is.
Well, so obviously they have a bunch of cardboard stuff that they're kind of making there, and it seems basically you just get to make your own costume out of cardboard. And that's basically it.
Okay. So it's a fun thing.
But there wasn't like a coherent point to any of it.
There
wasn't like, oh, here's what's happening. It's like there was none of that. And it was basically just cardboard. But I, you know, why not?
Yeah,
why not make
like
some
it,
weird
yeah.
shit out of cardboard?
That's a fun, crafty thing.
So I have a helmet and a shield. The if you've seen the photo, you will know that the helmet is nowhere near fitting my head. It is phenomenally small for an adult. I suspect it may in fact be a child's helmet.
Yep.
But why not? And a shield. And so I have those at home now. I will be more than happy to part with one of those next time I see you. So let me know which you'd like, if you'd like the helmet or the shield, and we can have one each.
Well, I get one of these, do I?
Absolutely.
Oh,
why wouldn't you get one?
I thought that was for you. I mean, I was half around the world. I was half around the world, so that's why I figured they weren't for me.
Don't be silly. Of course you can have one.
Oh,
we're in this together,
lovely.
Pat. So you need to choose now, though. You want a helmet or a shield?
Oh, definitely the shield.
Okay, cool. I will keep the woefully small helmet for myself. So Tim is a Victory fan. Was over in New Zealand with his friend Jesse, and they were. Is it Jesse or Jess? I actually don't know. Which pronunciation he prefers, because
no
those
idea.
Both can be spelt that way. I'm going to go with Jesse.
Yeah.
We're over for the Victory game at the weekend. And has have also been long-time listeners of this podcast. So they brought it over with them when they came over and gave it to me at the pub before the game, which was very nice.
Amazing, yeah.
And they got kind of lucky in one sense because they're now going to be intertwined with this podcast in a much deeper way. which, have you heard about this?
I have no idea what you're talking about.
Are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You have gone completely silent. Oh, I have lost Patrick.
Oh, no. Okay. We can fix this. The listeners can still hear me because, of course, we record separately.
I have lost Patrick entirely.
And then I push that button there. Have you got me now? Have you got me now, Dave?
I do have you now.
There we go. Cool.
there's a fun part there where I was talking for quite some time before I realized you were gone.
No, I could hear you. That's why I didn't realize you. I heard you and you heard me. Tell me why they're intertwined with the podcast. I don't know this story.
Oh, you don't know this story?
No.
Good. Okay. Well, so after the game, I went out to a Courtney Place establishment, you know, the usual late night venue.
Yes, Stranger Danger.
Indeed. And I happened to see some of the players there. And obviously, having played the Victory, a number of these players feature in this game.
You mean the Victory players?
Indeed. The Victory players.
Okay.
Were there. And so I messaged the Victory fans that had obviously come over and said, why don't you guys come on down? So Tim and Jesse came on down and we're hanging out with the players and we had a bit of a yarn with them and they bought us some drinks and it was quite a funny night. I'm not gonna grass the players up too much because honestly most of them were pretty nice about it.
They knew that they were about to go into 2 weeks of quarantine, right?
Well, the first thing was that as seems to be the theme with this podcast for some reason, it was a stag do. And so Dale, who, you know, a lot of people will know, was dressed in kind of a milkmaid's outfit in Danger Danger on the dance floor. Reasonably intoxicated by this point. And I thought, you know what, it'd be funny to get a photo with these Victory players.
Yeah, of course it would.
And so I went over and I had a chat with one of them who, again, I'm not going to name because I won't grass him up too much, and said, hey, mate, is it all right if we get a photo with you and the stag over here? That'd be kind of funny. And he went, oh, shit, nah, we're not meant to be out. we're on a total media ban and we're not meant to have left the hotel.
And I was like, oh,
well, wow. In that case, yeah, probably don't pose for photos in the bar with us. That seems like a good way to stitch yourself up. But then, like I say, they were really cool about it and like bought a few drinks and had a yarn with everyone. If they'd been like real standoffish and dicks, I'd totally grass them up.
Yeah. Okay. Well, fair enough. Like they were just having a fun time.
It wasn't any of the Victory players I particularly dislike, and they were generally being pretty cool about it and, you know, just having a good time. And exactly that. They're like, well, we're about to go for 2 weeks of quarantine.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck are the club going to do about it? Like, we went out, we had some beers, such is life.
Yeah. If they had training the next morning or had a Wednesday game or even a game next weekend,
exactly.
It might be different. But they didn't have training. They got nothing. They're just you got to let them live.
No.
Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Some of them were certainly making the most of it. I mean, I will say it was a Sunday night. It was reasonably late by that time, but first week of the uni students being back.
Oh, right.
And so a lot of quite young girls out and a lot of football players buying them drinks and, you know, splashing some cash about. And
can we talk about this on the podcast? Is this okay to broadcast?
I mean, they're in a bar. These were 18-year-old girls you know,
consenting,
perfectly legal guys.
Even
but
consenting
yeah,
adults, cool.
It was totally fine, but definitely, I suspect, situation that the players probably wouldn't like making it back to team management or whatever.
That's fine.
So that's why I'm not gonna name them or grassing them up too badly. If they'd been dicks, I totally would. I'd be like, this guy and this guy and this guy. But they were fine. So I was with Tim and Jesse in there having a yarn with some of the boys from this game.
Did you mention
which
that
obviously
we do this to
obviously
them?
Narrows the numbers down. So sorry to those boys who have to appear in both games.
Oh yeah. I have no idea. I have absolutely no idea who you talk to, but it's absolutely Marco Rojas. Like absolutely you went over and talked to Marco. Like
I mean, if Marco would be there. I definitely would have spoken to him, exactly, and I definitely would have bought him a shot of tequila.
And you know what? I'm gonna take a guess that fucking Marco and Lawrence Thomas will be number one and two to go down Danger Danger. The two of them are inseparable and exactly the kind of people that would do this. I'm going to say it was Marco Rojas, Lawrence Thomas.
I will say that it wasn't just two players. I'd estimate there were 10 to 12 of them there.
Oh, right. Okay.
It's the majority of the squad. So well,
that also makes it easier to have it for team management because they can't stand down all of them.
I would say so. And that's not to say that the others weren't out as well. It's just to say they weren't in danger yeah, exactly. together. Like,
they could have been Mishmosh. Mishmosh, the players like going to a lot.
Yep.
The Phoenix boys, I know, used to go there a lot. And so they would recommend to the other teams to go there. Where else? Do you reckon they were out with at the old 13th pub? I was avoiding saying Newsy's friend, but do you think they'd be at the 13th pub?
I suspect they may have been some of them go there at some point. That wouldn't have surprised me at all.
The Sunday
I reckon at about two in the morning, yeah. They all kind of buggered off, and I doubt they were going back to the team hotel.
No, that would be my fault. You might as well stay out longer. Yeah. Yeah. Did you mention that we do this project to any of those players?
I did not. I kept that reasonably quiet because it was weird enough chatting with them anyway, being like clearly wearing my Phoenix gear still, having come straight from the game.
Yeah.
Them being like, oh my God, we're on a media ban. These guys know exactly who we are.
Oh yeah.
But the Victory boys were having a good yarn with them, and obviously they're involved in some Victory podcasts. They knew what was going on, and that they hadn't managed to avoid being discovered at all, but that everyone was not going to be dicks about it, or I think they would have bugged off pretty quick smart.
Well, everyone understands what's about to happen with the old isolation-y.
My only regret was that, like, it wasn't any of the guys that I could really change my opinion on.
Because there's obviously some, like, it's not.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, it wasn't like the one time I got to have a night out drinking with Berisha and learn that, you know, all those people who say, actually, he's a really nice guy. Like, I didn't get to learn that. In that sense, I was kind of like, oh, that's a bit gutting. But it was a great time. I mean, like, honestly, these guys were sinking the drinks like nobody's business, like Liam making Reddy out with girls on the dance floor, and like, just, you know, it was a fucking shambles.
Was it
like
Liam Reddy's size drinking going on?
Yeah, it was right up there.
Wow.
Like,
what a night.
It was buying trays of shots, and, you know, like, yeah, it was them going hard. You know, it's, wow, we're about to be in quarantine for 2 weeks. Yeah. Let's drink up, boys.
Well, it's good that they single-handedly helped the local Wellington businesses in a tough time.
Absolutely.
Did they go down to Civic Video at all?
I like that you saw that photo. That's a good callback that only people in Wellington on Twitter are going to get at all.
Yeah, Wellington Twitter went nuts with that this week. But I reckon most of our podcast listeners would understand that gag, although potentially not the Victory. Victory supporters. Do you reckon that, like, opposite, like, in talking to Tim and Jesse, we're going with Jesse. Do you reckon they enjoy listening to us because it's their team that won? Do they get extra enjoyment out of it because of that?
Well, I mean, both of them are listening since season one.
Oh, okay, all right, okay.
They came to it late.
Yeah.
Which I say to them actually that I'm kind of glad. Like, I think anyone who's really stuck with us probably didn't listen to the first episode. Like, they weren't there from day one.
Yeah.
Because
day
one was shit. Like, we know day one was shit.
We don't know what
Whereas
we're doing.
They came in late with strong recommendations from other people being like, this podcast is good.
Yeah.
Give it a listen. And so they, you know, they stuck it through a few episodes and now they fucking love it.
I don't understand that, but anyway.
I don't think the Victory element necessarily mattered that much.
Yeah, that makes sense.
I think it's, you know, anyone who's an A-League fan knows what it's like to have a fucking shocking game. I don't think any club has escaped having an absolute shocker. I mean, admittedly, some clubs have had a lot more, but they can feel that vibe, and they can, you know, understand what the pain must be of having to watch that as many times as we do.
Sydney have the 7-2 loss to the Mariners. The Victory have, like, a 5-0 to us and worst other teams. Adelaide have that 6-0 grand final. The Mariners have every single game they play. The Jets have a bunch of 5-0s again. Yeah, every single team, basically.
Yeah.
Even West United have now as well. They've lost games by heaps. They just had some spankings, didn't they? But yeah, anyway, every team, every team has had shockers. So yeah, I admire that people can identify with us as Phoenix supporters. I did see some amusing. Did you see that tweet? I think it was on one of the A-League meme accounts on Twitter. But it was from the Newcastle Jets game that obviously being played in a massive global audience because there's no other football on at the moment. And they were, saying you're the worst. Like, you cost me this bet. Blah blah blah. You're the worst team. and someone is saying, you think that's bad? Try watching them every game for 10 years, which I think was excellent areas from whoever posted that. I can't remember who exactly it was, but we all enjoy watching our team win. We all suffer the losses when we lose, which brings me to point two.
I've hijacked point one a lot.
No, I'm happy with point one going on for 26 minutes. Like, that is that is good content. Point two brings me to our Twitter escapades this afternoon. We were kind of like, I was half live tweeting the game, but kind of just talking to you about it while we were watching. And you mentioned after Dylan Fox's first yellow card that you hope it doesn't come back to bite him. And you mentioned him in this tweet. And
I did. Why wouldn't I?
Within mere minutes. It's 2 weeks in a row on the podcast that we've had someone reply to us in minutes on Twitter. But Dylan Fox, he was come back saying, it's a good thing there was no VAR. I would have been sent off for the first one. Which
would have been upgraded to a red, he reckons.
I don't think it's true.
No.
But the fact that he's saying it makes it funny. It's a.
Do you reckon VAR overturns it?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
you reckon?
Yeah, I do.
I don't think so. I think under how we've seen VAR go, I think this stands as a penalty, not because it's the right call, but because it was the on-field call. I think there's contact,
Yeah, that's fair,
and I think the VAR goes, that's fine. There was something. Yeah. The contact is really Berisha on Fox, but there is contact, and I don't think they overturn it. And I think, you know, the VAR can't go, and it's not a yellow. Like, oh yeah, let the penalty stand, but it's not a yellow. Like, true, I don't think that happens either. Yeah. So I think the yellow and the penalty stand, which is bullshit because it shouldn't be. I think if this on-field call is no penalty, very different. I don't think VAR gives a penalty.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
And then you look at the second yellow card turning into the red. Do you reckon VAR overturns that?
But no, that's a yellow.
No, exactly. And so Fox in a VAR error doesn't
off.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Mahazi ends up in trouble.
Yeah, Mahazi gets a red for the Vince swamp.
probably.
I think he gets straight red for that. Obviously, the VAR is not going to come in and say that's a yellow on that challenge, but I think he gets a straight red for that in a VAR world.
I think the VAR certainly looks closely at number two. I don't think it's a red, but I wouldn't be surprised to see VAR going, hold the ball for a minute, we want to look at this.
Yeah, and especially I think one of the reasons that it might be up red is because the referee clearly didn't see it at all. Given he's played on, like, that's very clear for VARs allowed to intervene.
Correct.
There because the referee hasn't dealt with it on the field at all. So
And I think the Berisha goal overturned for sure. Yeah. I don't see any way. Sorry, Berisha doesn't score it, does he?
No, Marco scores it, but the one where he pushes
Marco's
goal.
That's right. That one 100% overturned.
Yeah,
I don't see any way in VAR era that stands.
Yeah,
and that one is just shocking.
While we're on that goal, it brings me to point three on my list, which is after that goal, as Parkhouse is going off injured. I was listening on a TV. I was watching the game on a TV with like a surround sound system today for the first time in forever. I usually watch on a laptop.
Yep.
But I heard a chant that I've never heard before, which was that they are definitely chanting One Sheep in Melbourne, which I enjoyed massively when I heard that.
I've talked about this on the podcast before. We've discussed this.
Have we? Oh, okay. Well, and whatever like tired state, jet lag state I'm in right now, I didn't remember that, and I massively enjoyed hearing One Sheep in Melbourne.
And
the connotations that we all visit to share that sheep, and by share that sheep, I don't mean share that sheep. I mean share that sheep.
I do not want to know what you mean, but no, we've definitely talked about that because I've heard that before, and it's interesting because. I think we talked about this off air, which is maybe why you don't remember it, because maybe the whole conversation was off air, but I'm pretty sure there's part of it in the podcast.
Honestly, I don't remember what we talk about on this pod. I have no idea.
that the owner of that sheep is a somewhat, I'm going to stick with notorious fan who created a splinter group. From the yellow fever, there's obviously some rumors surrounding that. Yeah.
I remember this conversation now. Yeah, that's a good point.
That's less
funny.
Well, I suspect it's not the fever chanting that. I think it might be some other people giving him grief about his sheep, but I don't know. The situation certainly involves that particular sheep. And
move along. Nothing to see here. that's funny. I have quotes. Do you have quotes?
I want to talk about a quote that directly relates to that goal.
Okay, sure.
Because I'm sure I've heard it before and I'm sure I've mentioned it before, but today it made me really angry listening to Archie after the game. As we're watching the highlights of the game, he goes, "Oh, I thought maybe that was a foul at first viewing, but on watching the replay just now, it's definitely shoulder to shoulder. Watch that replay and you think that it's shoulder to shoulder. Nope. Maybe you thought it was shoulder to shoulder live, but watching the replay, he clearly pushes him over.
Yeah, I would understand seeing that live, but not on a replay. Like the replay makes it very clear that it's a push. Like,
and it's just ridiculous." Particularly when Archie then later notes, "I've got to say that." Like, no, you don't. You're not there as a victory former player.
Yeah.
You're there to provide commentary on the game. The reason you get offered that opportunity is because you've played at this level, sure. And the reason you're there for this game is because you were involved in the victory. But most other, commentators who come and get involved in that at least manage to maintain a level of, avoiding that bias. There's a subconscious level, but they're not overtly expected to be like, "Oh yeah, that definitely wasn't a foul." Well,
compare it to Siggy the year before. No, it's the same year. Compare it to Siggy, where he clearly has a bias towards the Phoenix, and like, because he has been with these players up until the previous season, he trained with them all day. He has all that information about them, but he doesn't ever explicitly try and be like, we the Phoenix. Like, he goes into it a couple of times and he kind of catches himself and pulls himself out of it. But Archie just leans into it so heavy. Like all the matey stuff afterwards, like, "Oh, hey, Archie's here. Kevin Muscat's here. And, oh, you got to deposit $500 in my bank account, aren't you, Marco?" Like all that shit is just like,
Archie has a little chat off mic with Berisha.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like Berisha comes over and rubs him on the head. It's like, "Oh, good game, mate." Like, it's weird.
It's weird.
But I think the difference is, like, guys like Siggy that clearly had a bias. Like, he wanted the Phoenix to win, but it didn't color necessarily what he said about it. Like, if there was a bad tackle, he's like, "Yep, that's a bad tackle."
Or a bad throwing, Dave.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the difference, right? Like, he's willing to bag his own team.
Yeah, it was Archie's
just
hope
that they would be better.
Archie's
like, I'm not even willing to bag my team. He's clearly pushed him over there, but I'm going to claim it's shoulder to shoulder because I have to. Like, no, you don't have to. Fucking hell. And it made me angry. Unreasonably so, because I should be used to it by now. But you wanted a quote, so I have one more thing that I wrote down on my list. This is the last item on my list, was when Robbie Slater talks about the penalty against Dylan Fox, and he specifically says that he gives him no choice but to award the penalty about the referee.
So
I'm like, there is absolutely a lot of choice there. That is complete bullshit. It's the wrong call to describe it as leaving the referee with no choice.
That's some bollocks.
It made me angry. Yeah. So it's the normal stuff that makes me angry, but today I was more angry and wrote it down.
That's fair.
And I don't know why I was more angry about it today. I think I want to be past record 20 and into the home straight. I think 20 feels like a barrier that from there, like, I can start counting down. I don't know why that number makes sense to me, but I know we're not there yet.
Well, we now have 10 to go. Like,
I need to be in 20. 20 needs to be the goal. There's one more.
All right.
Then I can feel like we're on our way. But it still feels like we're in that horrible middle patch at the moment.
The darkest
point of the season, and I fucking hate it.
I didn't get angry at the game today. I just got resigned to the fact that this is what I do now, as I sit in self isolation and watch this game of football. I just resigned to it. I just like, "Oh, okay, yep, this is normal. This will pass 2 hours. That's good. That's a good thing.
I think for whatever reason, 20 will feel like that to me. I'll be like, okay, we're almost there. where we're in the home straight. I just have to watch it. And then, like, maybe the last one or two will be like, no, this is good. It's almost over. Because that's how it felt in season one. Like, the last couple really were almost enjoyable again.
Yeah.
Because I knew it was almost over.
Yeah. We almost made it. It was like we're finishing it off. But, yeah, this middle, like, with the last season, it felt like the middle 10 were really hard. And this season, it's the middle, like, the middle 15, the middle 20. Like, we had three at the front.
Exactly.
We had three at the top that were okay, and then we just dived very quickly. And, the thing is we've got to start thinking about a game for season three soon. Like, it's creeping up on us. It's creeping up on us. Who knows?
How many watches of Cats did I commit to get season three?
It's five.
Okay, because I want to do that, get that out of the way.
Yeah.
That'll feel like a nice break from this. Because I know I'm going to hate Cats, but it'll be a change.
At least you can watch, like, you can do all the things that got Worst Game through. You can make up plot lines for background Cats. Like, you can make up backstory for the background Cats
I refuse to engage with it on that level.
What they did in life to get there.
The first watch I'm going to engage, because I'm going to have to. Like, I don't know the story. I don't know what the fuck's going on. There's going to be a level of, like, I'm unable not to engage. Like, I don't want to, but I'm going to. I'm going to be like, I need to understand what's happening. What the fuck is the scene change? Who's that character? Like, the whole thing's going to be new and my brain will engage.
Yeah.
But after the first one, I plan to just let it wash over me. It's just going to be complete fucking nonsense that my brain doesn't need to engage with. It just occurs.
I think what you should do is,
which will be fantastic.
You should, after each watch, you should listen to an episode of My Week with Cats. So you're My Week with Catting along with watching Cats.
Yeah, well, so there's also a Twitter thread that it was either you or someone linked me to of someone else watching Cats. Oh, maybe it's Seth Rogen?
Yeah, Seth Rogen watched.
Really high watching Cats.
Yeah.
And I really want to read that thread. But I'm trying to distance myself from anything that might spoil my first watch.
You need to watch it first.
That's why I haven't listened to My Week with Cats when I really want to.
The thread will be way more enjoyable when you've already watched it once. So yes.
And so I think I probably need to at least get through maybe two before I allow myself to be like too colored by other people's takes on how fucking terrible this is. So I think I probably need to watch at least two before I can engage with like the Seth Rogen thread or My Week with Cats or like, because I don't want it to be me just being like, yes, those people are fucking right. I think we need some content that's me first, and then a couple of watches in, I can be like, yeah, those people are fucking right.
Are we recording a podcast after each of these Cats watches? Are we doing that?
I would assume so. I mean, I'm not going to fucking watch it and not get some content out of it, right? Yeah, I think they're probably Patreon only episodes. I would say.
Honestly, I think that in these times of trouble, I think that for the greater good, we should release them to the world.
Neither of us have jobs, Patrick. We need to gate some fucking content. I think absolutely people should be listening to the podcast, and I hope a lot of people who are in quarantine or have time off work or whatever's going on in your life are now engaging with this, because I think there's going to be a lot more people with a lot more time in their hands to listen to podcasts. But I'm really sorry, we're not giving you everything for free. This is a lot of our time we spend on this, and I'm very happy for you to have the main podcast for free.
Dave.
But nah, Patreons get to listen to me watch Cats.
Okay. Can I just do my own Cats podcast and put them out in the main feed then?
You can do whatever you like. In reality, we still don't have any money from Patreon anyway, because you're a shambles.
True.
That was one of the first things the boys asked me at the weekend. We're like, have you got any of the money yet? No, because Patrick's a fucking shambles.
That brings me to my quote, is the direct quote. I'm going to read this exactly the words that are said. You're ready? Okay. Probably pretty lucky for that 10 players for both sides are 11 are not on the park. Direct quote.
Good.
Direct quote.
Good.
That is Michael Zappone, everybody.
Yeah, and he's trying to make what would be a fair point, but he fucks it completely up.
He's trying to say that both teams are lucky to still have 11 men on the park. Those are the words he's going for. What he says is, probably pretty lucky for that 10 players for both sides are 11 are not on the park. And then just backs out of it completely. I also wrote down the words, a lot of them come from Europe now, which I thought was it's impressive that they managed to come all the way from Europe.
I mean, if we want to fuck with direct quotes, there's a good one from Archie at the end that I believe has he said, you've got Sydney this weekend, I think. It's kind of like a city, right?
Wow. Yeah.
And he's trying to make the point that it's like playing Melbourne
like
City. It's
yeah,
a bit
exactly.
like a derby.
Yeah.
But his words are not quite right for that. And
I enjoy
it
that.
Makes him sound like a fucking idiot. But only if I really selectively quote what he said. So
that's content that I can get on board with.
Exactly. And in fact, speaking of content you'll be able to get on board with, the game last night. So obviously we've started into behind closed doors games, and the Mariners played Melbourne City last night, and the Mariners got a goal. No, sorry, City got a goal, and the actual commentary from the game is, and the Melbourne City fan goes wild. And it's fantastic. I'm like, good. That's the sort of joke you might make on Twitter about like City or Mariners or whatever, having no crowds. Yeah, but the fact that there's one City guy outside the fence, like waving his scarf over the fence and fist bumping through the fence, and the camera cuts to it. And so the commentator goes, and the Melbourne City fan goes wild. And I'm like, oh, that's good.
That's amazing.
Someone needs to clip that audio and use it for all sorts of things.
Yeah. Oh, we should use that. And on top of our gifts gifts from season one, just every single goal and the Melbourne City
list,
fan
mate.
Goes wild. Yeah. That's what
you've got a lot of time on your hands. And in reality, at this point, you could have farmed this out to me, but I just genuinely don't know how to go and make GIFs from a video file on my computer. So I've never bothered to learn. I'm sure I could have Googled it. But instead, you keep promising you're going to do it, so I keep leaving it to you.
It's a meme now, isn't it? It's an in joke. It's a meme that I'll make the GIF.
It's a beer stubby, if you will.
Yeah, it is. Those are coming, by the way.
Good.
Held up by COVID-19, but the manufacturers on it.
You're a fucking shambles, mate. I love it. Never change, Patrick. Never change. Yeah. Always overpromise and underdeliver.
Hey, I've scheduled up the release of some episodes of this podcast as well.
Have you?
So yeah, people will be able to hear them now. We had two in the bank before we recorded this, and I went, you know what?
Only two. I thought we were three behind, but two's good.
No, we couldn't be three behind. That's not okay, Dave. That's why I released them before we recorded this. So people will soon hear it. But I've gone on to I've put us on a 3-day release schedule rather than a 1-week release schedule on the
I think the reality is we're going to be recording more often, so release a bit more often. There's going to be a lot of people with not a lot to do for a while, so
yeah, so we're going to
get
record
this in your ears
once every 2 or 3 days, I think, and then we're going to release once every 3 days, and we're going to have a rollicking fun time doing it and providing joy to the listeners in a time of very strangeness. Men on the park, 10 men.
Very strangeness.
Yeah. That's what I said.
The horrible thing is, and I don't know why I do this to myself. I'm not going to say it. I'm backing out of that. I take it all back. I'm not doing it.
You're not doing it? Okay.
No.
You're not doing it.
Well, I will say this part, that 14 days of isolation.
Yeah.
Maybe we should be doing a 14 episode special about something.
Oh, no, back out of that. Back the fuck away from that.
Absolutely. That's you now understand why I backed away, why all of that went through my mind. And then I was like, oh, why the fuck are you saying that out loud?
If we were between seasons, then maybe. But we're not. We need to finish
season. No, absolutely.
That would take
absolutely
time
not.
Away from being able to do. And like the Cats is already going to take time away from that we could be doing the actual podcast. So we need to make sure that we don't lose the actual podcast recording time to stupid 14-day specials. What would it be?
It wouldn't have to take 14 days. I don't know.
That's a good point.
I don't know. I don't want to engage with that.
What would it be? I reckon it's Gold Coast 6-0. I reckon it's that.
No, I reckon it has to be something else entirely. I haven't looked at how many are on there, but Cam, Photo Mac, from Phoenix City. For those of you who don't listen to our other podcast, has terrible taste in movies. And he has released this afternoon a quarantine movie list, which is filled with just dog shit movies.
Oh my God. Okay.
Knowing Cam's taste in movies, if there are 14 on there, that would be a real strong contender for bad movies we should watch each of them just once and then talk about. I haven't looked at his list at all. I just saw that he has tweeted it this afternoon. And like I say, knowing his taste in movies, it'll be a bunch of dog shit.
All right, so I'm looking at it now.
And hi, Cam, I love you.
Genuinely, this is not a bad list.
Oh, really? It can't be that list then.
Yeah, it's very... No, it's the same list. Same list. It's very virus heavy. It's gone for a post-apocalyptic world, virus world. Yeah. He's not gone for these are my favorite movies. So, but all these movies are actually pretty good.
Because his list of favorite movies would be... terrible.
To be fair to Cam, and hello Cam, I know you're listening, he has swung around on Die Hard 5. He has realized that Die Hard 5 is not the pinnacle of the Die Hard series, which I think he already knew, but he swung around on Die Hard 5. But this list, I mean, should we just go through the list? Because we may as well.
Sure.
We got nothing else to talk about. Contagion, Outbreak, Zombieland, Zombieland 2, The Road. The Road is amazing. The Road is genuinely incredible. I Am Legend.
Okay.
I was talking about this movie with somebody yesterday, and they're like, "Yeah, I Am Legend with Will I Am in it," and I was like, "It's not Will I Am. It's not the movie is not Will I Am Legend. It is Will Smith in the movie I Am Legend." Children of Men, Dawn of the Dead, 28 Days and 28 Weeks Later. Mad Max Fury Road. He said, if you want to watch the originals, feel free. Not going to stop you. That's on the list. The Hunger Games, all three, which we're moving slowly away from the virus theme into more dystopia theme. And then three movies I haven't heard of, which is Screamers, Tremors, and Quarantine.
Whoa. You haven't heard of Tremors?
No, I've not heard of Tremors.
Oh, Tremors is a good time. You need to watch Tremors and Tremors 2.
And then the Quarantine, movie, which is the
I
best
don't think
movie.
I've seen.
The best movie on the list, Shaun of the Dead. Amazing.
Oh, yeah. That is a good movie.
You know what?
There's a lot of movies in there that I wouldn't describe as dog shit, but I wouldn't say they were good either.
No. The list is very clearly tailored towards virus themes, which means that you scrape the barrel at a certain point. So, yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like there's probably some apocalypse movies that could be on this list that should be. I can't think of any off the top of my head, but I'm sure there are better ones than this.
Like Armageddon. That's a good one.
Yep, fair. Fair.
2012.
Those are like the wrong sort of apocalypse, though,
right?
Yeah,
you're right. He's gone for the virus theme. So the virus theme works really well.
Like, but there must be some zombie and like, I reckon vampire movies as well that could probably make this list in various ways, but certainly zombie films could be in there, which he's got a couple, but... Yeah. If we were going to do an additional 14 thing, I wouldn't say we'd watch something 14 times. It would be just 14 episodes of us doing something else.
Doing something else, yeah. I mean, we could
Like, talking about movies would be quite a change for what we normally do.
Yeah. Musicals. We could watch 14 musicals.
I physically couldn't.
We could get one in. If we're doing 14 movies, we could make one a movie musical.
Maybe we could do one.
14. Do we go short? Do we do like 14 episodes of The Simpsons or something like that? Like,
nah. Anyway, why are you entertaining this as a proper idea? Like, no,
we're not gonna
stop
do it.
That.
Because we're not going to do it. That's why.
Stop that. You no.
It's fun
away.
To think about it as a merely fun concept that we'll never do. We'll never do this because despite 14 days in isolation, things will never get that bad. Things will never get to that point. We have Melbourne Victory beating the Phoenix 6-1 to take care of us, to look after us, to make sure that we remain sane. And that is what we shall do with our time is finish the season. Hashtag flatten the season.
If we were going to do it, how many Patreons do we have at the moment? We don't have 14 at the moment, do we?
14 Patreons?
No, I don't think we do.
We have seven? No,
four.
We have four.
I would let each of them suggest two items.
Yep.
And we would get to suggest one each.
Yep.
That maths is totally wrong.
You want them to suggest 3H is what you want there to have.
Yeah, I mentally thought that and then only said 2 and then realized I'd done that later.
You've got us to 10 things there, which...
I've lost it now. Sorry.
Well done. Well done. Oh, dear.
And that we would watch those. So, like, whether they be movies or an episode or something or whatever.
Do we put a time limit on each one?
And then we would get to see some too. Oh, yeah, absolutely. Like, they movie length at most.
Well, the thing is, they could tell us to watch The Irishman, and that's like 4 hours of rollicking fun time.
Well, isn't Seven Samurai worse?
Is it?
I think that's like 11 hours.
Okay, yeah, no, I'm not going to watch that. Return of the King Extended Edition, I would watch that. I would watch that for the podcast. Just putting that out there. I would sink 4 hours into that.
Okay.
But anyway, I think we're done now, Dave. We've exhausted lists. We've exhausted things to talk about because neither of us are doing anything. There's nothing from real life that we can come and talk about. It's just chilling. Just chilling. Vibing. Chatting.
Yep.
All those things. Yep.
Yeah, I don't like watching the game. That's my final note.
10 to go. Hashtag flatten the season. That's what this is. All right. Thank you for listening. Goodbye, everybody. Stick around for After Dark if you're a Patreon subscriber.
Bye. Rollins in the back.